asked me that I look too young to have learned by Rav Aaron, so why am I speaking about Rav Aaron? And the emes is that to know anything about Rav Aaron, obviously Talmidim, etc., know and knew Rav Aaron and are able to give over a little bit more about, a lot more about Rav Aaron. But the emes is that if you look in the Svarim, if you want to know a little bit about Rav Aaron, Gadlus B'Torah, you just have to open up the Svarim, Mishnas Rav Aaron. If you want to know what Rav Aaron, Mishnas Rav Aaron, on Masechtas and Shas, and if you want to know a little bit about Rav Aaron's Hanhaga, all you have to do is open up the Svarim, Mishnas Rav Aaron, the Mamarim, the Musar Mamarim, and you get a feeling, even without ever having ever heard a live shmooze, you open up, and the hergish, the emotion, and the fire, and the emes of his words just come out at you from the sefer. And because Rabbi Aaron was a person who never held back anything, so everything he wrote was the emes, and that's what he portrayed and gave over, berabim, to people. So Our Messiah, if you have a little bit from the that which was written about him, but more that which was written by him, and the things that he said, that you can have a little bit of understanding who Rav Aaron was. And the question that I wanted to address was, like Rabbi Singer mentioned, there's going to be a major event in Lakewood over starting now through Sunday, commemorating the 50th yard site of Rav Aaron. And it's not just the Rosh Yeshivas in Lakewood, it's Gedolim and Manhigim from cities around the country and around the world that are going to come to join. Rosh Yeshivas from Mexico and Eretz Yisrael and Canada, and Rosh Hashanah from all over the country, Rabbanim, and people are mamish coming, Rebbes, from everywhere to come to participate in this event. And the emes is that there's a lot of gedolim who maybe had more talmidim than Rav Aaron even. What's unique about Rav Aaron Cutler that this is such a monumental event for Klal Yisrael, it seems like. So to speak a little bit about Rav Aaron, the emes is that every nekuda about this particular gadol, you could really give a whole drasha about. I mean, Gadlus B'Torah of Rav Aaron Cutler's mamash, not shayach. People said I'm just going to say a point, but you could go on, the Gadlus B'Torah of Rav Aaron. He was accepted in as the youngest bachur in Sabbat Yeshiva at age 13, and eventually, within 3 years, at the age of 16, he was already considered from the biggest Eloi in the Yeshiva. He married the daughter of Rabbi Zalman. So had that shidduch take place, Rameir Simcha Mitvinsk, the Meshech Chochma, the Rasamech, came to Sabbatka and he asked the Kasha, took a bunch of the Chavra in the Yeshiva. And the youngest Bachar, he wasn't the youngest at that point, he was 16, but they were older Bachar, he came, and Rav Aaron set a pilpul to answer Rav Aaron, the Meshech Chochma, the Rasamech's Kasha. So Rameir Simcha ran from Sabbatka, and he went to Rav Zalman, and he told him, he said, Sada, I think he said a kint was the lashon. There's a child in Slobodka who's the biggest eloi in the yeshiva. So Rav Zalman had this idea in his mind, and he went to check it out, and he ended up taking him as a son-in-law. But he was nikkur already from a very young age. By 20, he was already saying shiurim in yeshivas in Slotsk, and eventually he was, someone mastered on him, he had to leave, he went and opened his own yeshiva, singing shir at the age of 20 in yeshivas. I mean, even nowadays, people don't say shiurim in yeshivas at that age. In Europe, there was gedolei le'olam, and you can imagine what it was like when he was saying shiurim at the age of 20. What they say about the shiurim, the godless of the shiurim, Meir Shiva, Meir Stern said over one time, he said that the Amilus Batera, Rabbi Aaron, he learned by Rabbi Aaron, the Amilus Batera, Rabbi Aaron was Mamash. Ayim Benayra. He said he came in one Friday night, the Bachelor were learning in the yeshiva. He came in one Friday night and he picked up, we were learning in yeshiva, a Shtikel Ter from Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos. It says over there that Haloimed, I think it says Haloimed Amunas Lamed, the Mishnah is talking about Haloimed Amunas Lamed. So, and Haloimed Amunas Lumed and Haloimed Amunas Lasis. So Rabbeinu Yonah says over there, he says that a person should be Me'ager B'Teira and he should think about one thing, Lekama Yomim V'Shonim. You should think about one thing, Lakama Yamim Vishanim. So Meir Stern said, of course, you have to go Vaiter also. But you have to have one, even if something could be Shver in your mind, Lakama Yamim Vishanim. So he said over at that time that he was in yeshiva. There's a whole bunch of Bachim learning Friday night in yeshiva, and Rabbaran was a short man. He came in, he was all excited in his way, he was looking for a Bachar, and he said, the first Bachar he grabbed, he said, the Bachar was taller than Rabbaran. He grabbed him by the jacket, and he lifted him up off the floor. And he said, I had this going shver for 22 years, and now I have pshat. And then he put him back down. He went back into his office. That was the godless b'torah. You know, there was a when I was coming down here to Miami. So someone told me in Lakewood. So they said, oh, you're going to Miami. I'll tell you a story about Miami and Rabbaran. What was the maisa? That he came to collect money. He was collecting money for a lot of different things. So he came to collect money, and he got to the hotel wherever he was staying, and this person he came with a shamish, you know, whoever someone was driving around to care. He came with him and he sat down, and they had an hour till the first appointment. So Rabban took out a pen and paper and he started writing Chiddush HaTorah. So the person said, he said, what are you writing? I mean, it was Shabbos, you know, you were busy saying the Shir, and what are you writing now? I mean, you didn't learn anything today that you should be writing down. I was with you the whole day. So he said, so Rabbi Aaron said, no, this is a Shir I said in Kletzk 40 years ago. I just never had a chance to write it down. But now I have an hour, so I could start writing down the Shir. But, and if you ever opened up a Shir that he said in Kletzk, you know, like the pupils. But that was, there was a Rav, he was just Nifter, an old-time Rav. He came to Lakewood 6 months before Rabban, in Pesach Levavos was his name. So he we were talking, different things. And then at the end of the conversation, he told me that he drove Rabban one time to New York, and he started talking to Rabban and learning about the Shir Kloli that Rabban gave the day before. And Rabban's said, you can't talk about a Shir Kloli while you're driving. It's a kind of sefashis. Keep it on the road. So he told me at the end of the whole conversation, you know, he's telling me different things. And at the end of the whole thing, he says to me, by the way, you and I are not the same. We're not the same. I'm much more chashuv than you. So I, what do you mean? He says, I saw Rav Aaron, you never saw Rav Aaron. Someone that saw Rav Aaron is not the same yid as someone that didn't see Rav Aaron. So the godless that you saw, just by seeing that person puts you in a whole different madriga. That was the godless patera. There's the godless in midas. You could go on and on. The story's written. The midas of Hakar Satoiv. There was a maisa. He said that he went around to the yeshiva in the middle of the night, and at 1:30, it was, I think they said it was 1:30 in the morning, went around waking up Bachar to get a minute to say Tehillim for somebody that was sick. So he woke up the first Bachar, said it's 1:30, he said we have to go say Tehillim for someone sick in Denver. So he said, Rebbe, I mean, I'll come, but you're going to wake up another 9 guys and I'm not going to be so happy. So he said, can't it wait till the morning? So he said, this person, I needed money for Vada Tzala, to save Yidden. There were Yidden waiting for a specific thing in Russia and in Europe. And I needed something at 3:00 in the morning. I called him, I woke him up at 3:00 in the morning and he gave it to me. So he deserves our tefillahs right now when he needs it. We can't wait till the morning. He didn't wait in the morning for me, we can't wait in the morning for him. And there's a whole, every to be makar tov to every person, kafi da tov that they did, the chulu, But the emphasis is that there's that these this is true. There's the godless was enormous. But like I said, many gedolim were gedolim in many areas. Mamish, the godless was enormous. What's unique about Rav Aaron, the people that we're celebrating, that is such a chashuv celebration, ki'ilu, a commemoration. So there was a maisa. I think we have to take a step back. There was a maisa one time. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky was the Shiva in Panovich, and he said pilpushim. He said shiurim. He had many talmidim. And he came to a place and he said over a shiur of his, a chiddush. And apparently this Chiddush, people, he had many Talmidim. The Talmidim went out and someone told me 80% of Rosh Hashivas today in Eretz Yisrael are Talmidim of Shmuel Rozovsky. So this Yisoid apparently went around. And a lot of people knew this Yisoid of Shmuel Rozovsky, this Chiddush that he had said. And he went to a shir and he gave a shir klali as a visiting Rosh Hashiva. And he goes and comes and he says this Yisoid. And they had heard it, you know, the Talmidim had heard it already so many times. So they come afterwards to Rav Shmuel, and they said, this is what you came to say, this Yisoid, everyone knows this Yisoid. It's a famous Yisoid. And he says, Yeshakoyach, who do you think made it famous? You know, so he said, I think that part of what we don't appreciate, it's hard for us to understand the godless of Rav Aaron, is because all the chidushim that Rav Aaron was machadish for Yiddishkeit in America, by now, today, are dvarim pshutim, are things that we were so accustomed to, and we look around and we take for granted the tzura of Yiddishkeit today is what it is, and we understand and we look at it, and you know, okay, so there's another gadol, but then it says, who do you think made it? Who made it like that? Who made it famous in the first place? Who made it that this is the tzura of Yiddishkeit, and we have, and that there's yeshivas and there's the limud haTorah, and the tzura of what we have today was largely to the credit of Rav Aaron. It comes 50 years after Rav Aaron. The celebration is not just about Rav Aaron's patira, but if you look back, and we could be so proud to say that since the time of his patira, his ideals and what he was mechadish changed over America, that we're proud to have such a tzibur like this, is mamish something that Klal Yisrael has what to be proud of. But that's part of what we have to understand is the godless of Rav Aaron was making these ideals and making the tzura of Klal Yisrael what it is today. So I was just reading a little bit in different books. There's a book written, it's a biography about Irving Bunim, A Fire in His Soul it's called. Irving Bunim was the primary balabas who helped Rav Aaron, was his right hand man. So he just describes over there what America looked like before. What America looked like before Rav Aaron and Gedolim from Europe came. What he said that Pasha, the understanding of people was that the old surah of Torah and yeshivas, everything was over. It's time to start over again. That didn't work. That was a model that didn't work for Klal Yisrael, and we gotta give it up. Let's move on. We're in the new world. Let's whatever was then was then. Now we have to start over again, and let's be American. We're here. This is the place to be. This is the promised land. Let's just live with everyone else and do what everyone else is doing. My shiva, Meir Stern, when he was sitting shiva, I'm just reminded of this story today. So he was sitting shiva. I was there. And he said that someone from his old class, his old classmate from Cheder came to say, someone he hadn't seen in 60 years. And he went to the Cheder in Bar Park, or Chaim, I think it was called then. Said it was the more Hamish Cheder in Bar Park. So this person, his friend, came to me and said, Mayor, he said, how many of our classmates, when we were kids, how many of those people are Shomer Shabbos today, do you think? He said, I don't know, everybody. I mean, maybe one or two are not, probably everybody. Everyone came from homes. Everyone's father was Mamash Talmid Chacham. So he said, less than 25% of our class is now Shomer Shabbos today. The idea of anybody even being Shomer Shabbos was a Chiddush. The making Torah an ideal for someone's family or someone's life, and it was b'chol not shaykh. That was number one. And number two was that even the Jewish organizations that were there at the time, even the Jewish organizations were not led by Das Torah. They represented what they thought was Jewish, but it had nothing to do with Yiddishkeit and nothing to do with Torah. And even the things which theoretically were Orthodox, but it wasn't the what was pushing them and the way they modeled and had nothing to do with Torah. So Rabbi Aaron was machadish. Not Rabban himself, but Rabban primarily was machadish two ideas, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit. One was that when there's something on the public agenda for Klal Yisrael, the only kaveya for that is Das Torah. Rabban came and the first Kol Kairi came out within 5 years after he came. There's no such thing that all the Rabbanim came together and signed something and said this is wrong. And it was against a specific issue about Orthodox Rabbanim sitting together on boards with conservative and reform Rabbanim, and he initiated and got all the Rabbanim together. And that was a statement to people at that time. And looking back, people said now that was a statement saying that we have to measure our actions based on the Torah. It's not enough, you know, leave it in the base matters or leave it behind across the Atlantic. But it was something that everything that does, that's being done in the public forum has to be done based on Torah, and this was, he headed all the public organizations. He was the head of the Agudas Yisrael of the Metz of the Torah. He took over the Agudas Rabbanim. He took over Torah Masara. He led Chinuch Atzmai, and this is all within 10 years of when he came to America. Within 10 years of coming to America, he had taken over all these things and made Torah the kaveya of whether something is right or wrong. And there's no other factor, whether it's going to be taken properly politically, whether people are going to like it, whether people are going to think that this is... No, the only factor when something's to be decided for the klal is whether this is the hashkafah of the Torah. And this now became... Now we understand. You know, Rabbanim come out publicly, internet and this and that, but that was unheard of. Why should who's a rabbi to give me an opinion about whether I should have internet, filter this? But this is all a chiddush that he brought, that Torah is something which has an opinion, and we have to deal and look through the eyes of the Gedolei Torah what the Torah's view is about something, and that's something which is very, very serious there. Now, of course, before the other thing, the other area in which Rabbi Aaron was primarily mechadish was the idea of Torah Lishma. This is what Rabbi Aaron was famous for, Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma, Rabbi Aaron said that till then, all the yeshivas, but primarily the yeshivas are things that people were willing to let their children go study in yeshiva, was if it was the parallel of a university just in a rabbinical college. So, you know, there would be an agenda, and after 2 years, if the person graduated and he would move on and he would become rabbi, that the people maybe would learn. But to sit and learn Torah Lishma and to learn Kachim and Zvachim and things that didn't necessarily have practical ramifications, Lashem, learning Torah, that was something that Mamish people were, it was unheard of. People were never willing to accept such a concept. The Shner said over that, the Shner used to say, Maisa, Makil said that, Rav Shner said a Maisa. Like this person said, I'm not old enough to learn, have learned by Rav Shner either. So, Rav Shner said over that he was with Rav Aaron, Mamish, at the end of his life. And he was in the hospital, and Rav Aaron was sitting with the doctor. The doctor was, you know, diagnosing and talking, and he's trying to have a conversation. So, Rabbi, what do you do? So, Rabbi, what do you do? So, Rav Shner started telling him there's yeshiva where people study Torah and become rabbis. And Rav Aaron got up from his bed. It was very weak. Got up from his bed and said, Zogen Torah Lishma. He said, tell the doctor that what I do is I have a yeshiva so people learn Torah. And he said, the doctor versteht das nicht. The doctor doesn't understand. He said, it doesn't make a difference. Zogen Torah Lishma. And Imamish got all, you know, fiery. And that he said that the rebirth of this concept was the primary accomplishment that Rav Aaron brought to America. That there's a musig of Torah Lishma that people should be learning the Torah Lishem the Torah. He came in April 1941. That's when he arrived. I think he arrived through San Francisco, but when he arrived to New York, it was April of 1941. And like I said, he was already a Rosh Hashiva in Europe for 10 years. He was considered Reb Chaim Eiser and Chafetz Chaim. They already were made that he was the Gadol. He was from the Gedolei Hador in Europe. He wasn't, Nachat Talmud Chacham. He was mamash from the Gedolei Hador in Europe already. So when he came to New York in 1941, everyone came to greet him. And they come to greet him at the platform of the train, and immediately he gets off the platform of the train, and he gets up on a chair and he says, "We have to build a yeshiva here." That was his shalom aleichem to the people at the platform. He didn't even say, "What are you coming? Oh, where are you taking me to?" The first thing, and he said, and the people that were there said, it made such a roshim on them that the mamash dedicated themselves until he eventually was able to start the first koil, in America. He started with I think it was 11 people. It was 11 bochum, but then I don't know how many yungalite he had at that time, but he started the koil. It seems like he had started the koil first. I'm not sure, but he started the first koil with 11 people. I think it was 2 years after when he saved Bochum from, he saved people coming from Europe, and they asked him to make a yeshiva, so he started the koil, and that was right 2 years after the 1943. When he was building the yeshiva, right in the beginning, he had already had plans, and someone just told me this maysa, that when he was nifter, they went through his drawers to see, to clean out his desk, and had found blueprints over there, for that he had ordered from an architect to build a yeshiva that would seat 450 people, which eventually they used that to build the yeshiva, which he had ended up doing towards the end of life. It wasn't built by the end of his life, the yeshiva that's there now, but the date on that blueprint that he wanted to seat 450 people was in 1943, when he still had only 11 people in the yeshiva. But right away he decided, he saw this is the way to, this is he had a vision to build the Torah of the yeshiva full, and he wasn't going to give up. And the stories that they say about how he would go from door to door, there's a yeshiva in Farakway, also a Talmud, Rabbi Chiel Per. So son told me, he said that, my father said, I would never be able to raise money for my yeshiva if it weren't for the fact that I went door to door with Rav Aaron. I went door to door with Rav Aaron, we got pennies by each person. So that gave me the strength that I could raise money for my yeshiva. But Rav Aaron would come back, and he was raising money for Varatzola first, and then he was raising money for the yeshiva and Chinuch Atzmai. He came back one time from New York. He came to Lakewood, and Imamish was from Matar, and he wasn't matzliach in raising any money for the yeshiva. So the person that was with him said, "What's on your mind?" So he said, "What's on my mind? Don't tell any of the bachim what happened today." So why not? He said, "Because no one's going to want to become a Rosh Yeshiva. So don't tell him about the whole incident, what happened today." But he was mamish. They said that the koiches that he put in, he was mamish running day and night for the public, for the tzibur, for himself, for the yeshiva, for Klal Yisrael, and he put everything aside. His koiches were beyond what a normal person could say. The doctor, when he saw him, thought that he was 20 years older than he was. Said this more. He said the lesson of the story was this goof is of somebody that never stopped working for 100 years, and he's only 60 years old. That he was someone that mamish everywhere he went was with a fire, with an energy, and he never stopped. He just kept on going and going for whatever tzarech it was that Klal Yisrael needed at that particular moment. He was there, and he was doing what it took to meet the right people and run and do the right things. The zchus that we have, that we could be part of that, is a tremendous thing. You know, everybody, like Rabbi Singer said, everybody that learns Torah today is somehow connected. Their hashpa is somehow connected to the hashpa of Rabbi Aaron. By the time Rabbi Aaron was nifter, or soon after, there had already been yeshivas from Talmidei Rabbi Aaron established in at least ten cities across the country: Denver and Los Angeles and Scranton and Philadelphia and Far Rockaway and Chicago. There was Koyolim established in Chicago and Montreal and Mexico, Melbourne, Australia, Los Angeles, Detroit. He had his vision was to create Torah as being the primary focus of people's lives, and his Talmidim went and established that in places. And more than that, it became something which is on people's mind, Bechlal. And it became something that was acceptable to people beyond his Talmidim. And something which is now we take for granted. But we realize that it was a hashpa that came from somebody whose whole Asik was like I said, was Torah Lishma. He had many offers to do something a little different. Maybe style your yeshiva in a way that will be 11. Why do you have to start with 11? Everyone knows that you're a tremendous gadol. Why don't you make your yeshiva a little bit different, make it a little bit more palatable for the hamoinam, and you'll be able to start yeshiva right away with 100 people. Everyone's going to want to come learn by Rabbi Aaron. Everyone knew Rabbi Aaron's reputation. Why do you have to make it that it's, you know, sounds like this fringe, you know, this fringe extremist cult that people aren't interested in, and you only have 10 people that are willing to come to you? You could mamish build yourself an empire. And Rav Aaron said, Rava Mata Echus Rava, what was the lashon? Mata Kamus Veroiva Echus. That it doesn't make a difference how many you have, because what builds and ultimately builds a kiyum for Torah, for anything right, is the intentions, is the lashma. And if this is the way it's supposed to be, if this is the emes, and this was his emes, and he never gave up on that, and this is the emes that the people had given up hope on a long time ago, and he came and said, this is the emes, and he's going to work and make sure that it happens no matter what, and eventually that sets the foundation for what there is today of the Olam HaTorah in this country. You know, before Rav Aaron, it was poshut, any Ben Torah that would come to America was assumed that he was finished. No one's going to see anything from him. Rav Simcha Wasserman said that Rav Simcha Wasserman was the son of Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan didn't let any of his Talmidim come to America. He came to America to come, but at that time, that was already 1939, when he didn't let any of his Talmidim come to America because no one had any hope here. When Rabbi Chanan told Rabbi Simcha Wasserman to go to start something in America, so Rabbi Simcha Wasserman said, when my father told me to go and start a yeshiva in America, I knew that he knew that I wasn't going to have any children. Rabbi Simcha Wasserman didn't have any children. So I knew that he knew already at that point I wasn't going to have any children, because otherwise he wouldn't have sent me to America. No one was willing to take a chance of. And now that the Olam HaTorah that's growing, and there's always more things starting across the country, and everyone's a part of it, and everyone feels a pride when they have a child that's succeeding in learning and succeeding in yeshiva, and the pride that people have is all in the schus of the legacy of this musig of Torah Lishma that was all started with the fire and the energy and the relentless efforts of Rabbi Aaron Cutler with other Rishi Shivas that came to bring this musig that people thought had no hope. People pasha thought that the style of the yeshivas of Slabodka and Volozhin that was from the Masorah already, from the Vilna Goyen, and it ended. It was finished. But he wasn't willing to think pragmatically, you know, the way that it should be, the way that it makes sense. If this is right, and this is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects it to be, then it's going to happen. The there was a maisa, a famous maisa, when Rabbi Elia Lapian came to Lakewood. Rabbi Elia Lapian came to Lakewood one time. He was a great mashgiach in Gateshead, in Eretz Yisrael, in Kfar Chassidim. And he came, and actually I have a tape of this, a cassette tape of this shmooze that they ended up taking off of a record, and now it's probably on, and I don't know if you could hear it, but I heard a little bit, but it doesn't make a difference, because all you hear is screaming anyway. But Rabbi Elia Lapian gets up, and he's screaming for 45 minutes in the Lakewood Beis Medrash. It's a famous shmooze. And after 45 minutes, Rabbi Aaron leans over to him, and he says, "Where are you holding in the shmooze?" He said, "I'm still in the Hakdama." So Rabbi Aaron said, "Do you want to take a break?" I mean, he was an old man, and he was, and Rabbi Elia Lapian turned to Rabbi Aaron, and he says, "Adam la'omol yulad." A person's meant, of course it's hard, I'm tired, but a person's born and created to work. And he kept on going for another 45 minutes. And right after he said, Adam la'omol yulad, and he yelled, and he said, Adam la'omol yulad, Rabbi Aaron sat in the shender and started crying for 10 minutes. And the people who were at the shmooze said that the crying of Rabbi Aaron was just as powerful as the hour and a half shmooze of Rabbi Elia Lapian, because they understood that was so meaningful to him. It was a Muslim that he had lived with, and Rabbi Elia Lapian was telling him, "You have to keep on working. You can't give up for a minute." And that was his koyach. Where did Yitaka get this koyach from? I think that both of these things, both of these elements that we mentioned, the standing up for the inyanei hatzibur and expressing the chashivas of das Torah for the tzibur, and b'chol, his whole esek with the tzibur, and also the esek of bringing the Torah, is because his koyach for these things came from not making cheshbonis practically and saying, "Can I do it? Can I not do it?" When does a person make cheshbonis if it's about himself? Is this worth it for me? Can I do it? Can I afford to do it? Am I going to be able to do it? But if a person sees themselves as a shliach, as just a chelik of Klal Yisrael, as just a chelik to do what they can do for Klal Yisrael, and I have to do what I have to do for Klal Yisrael, it's not about me. It's about my mission and what I'm here to do for Klal Yisrael. And so it doesn't make a difference if it's going to be easy for me. It's not about me. And if you read the shmooze, and there's two, but I'll just say there's two shmooze I opened today, and they both said the same yisayit. One was about ben adam l'chavera, and one was about ben adam l'makom, but it's both the same yisayit. He says there that Klal Yisrael is not our arvus, is not just because Klal Yisrael remzel, and each individual person has to look after his arvus, but this is something I just learned now in Nefshachayim with Mechavrusa, that Klal Yisrael is one neshama. His nishmas Yisrael is the shayish of everybody's neshama. When a person betters themselves, he's bettering the whole nishmas Yisrael. Gantz Klal Yisrael is benefiting when one person betters themselves. And this is Rabbi Aaron's yisayit in Limud Torah Lishma. Rabbi Aaron says that Torah is like a sadeh. It's just like a sadeh of shutfim. The halacha is, if brothers own a sadeh, a field, b'shutves, and one of the brothers is mashbiach the sadeh, he works on the field and makes it better, even though he's the one that worked on it, but now the sadeh is worth more than all the brothers split it. That's the halacha. So Rabbi Aaron said that our ruchnius and Torah, our chelik and Torah, is like a sadeh shel shutfin. It doesn't make a difference who's the one that's being mashbiach it. When one person's being mashbiach it and one person's working on it, Gantz Klal Yisrael is benefiting from that. And therefore, if I start a yeshiva over here, that's raising the madrega of Gantz Klal Yisrael. Because now Klal Yisrael's neshama has in it people that are learning Torah lishma. And if I'm being Isaac and a child learning Torah in the Eretz Yisrael, Chinuch Atzmai, that's raising the Madrega of Gantz Klal Yisrael. And that was his, the Koichus came from an understanding, that this, an unwavering understanding of what's really the MS, and ultimately, if working as a Shliach of Klal Yisrael, that gives a person the koyches to say, it's not about if I can do it or if I can't do it. It's not about me. It's about my mission and about my being a shliach of Klal Yisrael for this mission. So if I'm sure that if Reb Aaron would see the mahapecha that's happened in this country since his Ptira, and that there's the fact that Torah is the Lumra Torah is something that we all strive for, and becoming Talmid Chachamim and having our children be in yeshivas and be continued to shteig is something which everyone is proud of. That was Mamash Reb Aaron's goal, that the whole Klal Yisrael as one sada, as one Klal Yisrael, should be uplifted to the Madrega, that Torah becomes the ikar in everyone's life. That's the biggest schos. And in Tzashem, we should be all be zeiche taka to continue that, and in Tzashem, in that schos, we should continue to see here and in the whole country, everybody continue to be neschazik in Torah, from Madrega to Madrega.